three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Recording this Thursday, 17th of March at about 2 p.m. on the West Coast, because that's where we both are, Andrew. We're both on the West Coast, first time.
Hey, everybody. And, can you believe it? We're both in the same state, but we've reverted to internet technology to record the podcast. We don't know how to do it in person together.
I know. We were just like, it's actually more convenient just to do it over Zencaster. What's funny is we've been doing, how many episodes do you think we've done together? 100?
It's amazing. I was just wondering the same thing. I'd have to go back and count them, but it feels like thousands.
There's been about 210 in total of the show. I dare say you've been a part of between 125 and 150 of those.
It's quite a number.
That's a lot of, but the key point of it being we had never met in person until yesterday.
It's ridiculous.
And that's... Yeah, and the meeting was such a like, oh yeah, I know this guy already. It's bizarre. It's the first real kind of internet friendship that I've ever really had, but it was very natural.
It was like the nerdiest Tinder date you've ever seen.
We had to say like, I'm wearing a white shirt. Me too. Blue jeans, top hat,
red corsage. It was fun.
It was
nice to meet you.
We went to the Balmoral, which is a pub in Vic Park, and we were joined by Patreons Nick Tan, Adam Westerhout, and Stu from the Sport Blokes came. So it was quite the little cohort. And as we're sitting there, guy comes in wearing a Wildcat jersey and we're having the chats. It was everything came together at once.
I know. I was hoping that guy was Harpy, but didn't turn out to be the case.
Harpy, if you're listening,
we promise.
And there will be a next time, that's for sure. Because it's been a showering of riches since we've been here. It's fantastic. But more importantly, what are we talking about today? We are talking about what was round 15. We're going to be definitely taking it to the tweets. So Tegan's asked for taking it to the tweets. So it's a taking it to the tweets for Tegan. We're talking about the games. Yeah, the Sydney Kings ownership change is kind of fun. Not change, but buy-in. And then the big talk now is this season's, we're seeing a real picture this season. Perth, Melbourne, and then there's a fight off between really three, maybe four teams. So we're going to be talking about that. Pardon me.
Oh.
And that was my alarm. So we're going to be talking about that run home and then having a look at round 16 coming up. But more importantly, Joseph Corr is my name, and that's Andrew Canyon over there.
It is.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start. You know what? Let's just play. Hit the tweets theme, man. Let's just do this. Tweets. 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 Tweets.
Hit it. All right. Taking it to the tweets. Take it to the tweets, Andrew Kennedy.
Okay. All right. The first tweet. I've got a specific tweet following that theme tune and then more of a tweetish kind of conversation. So first of all, I'm going to go super meta. The tweet that I want to draw attention to is the tweet from @TeaganM17, M for Mary 17, Tegan M. She tweeted, "Does it include the taking it to the tweets intro? I giggle every time."
Oh, get out.
Well, Tegan, there you go. We've played the theme. I hope you had a giggle.
We'll play it again. We'll play it again now.
Tweets. 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 Tweets.
Double dip on the taking it to the tweets theme. Yeah, I purposely plucked out the time you were least masculine. It was quite a bit. Some might even say a testy pop for the taking it to the tweets theme tune. I don't know. Probably a bit too far.
This is getting back to our cuck conversation if you keep going.
We've been good about cuck. We've been really good. I don't think we've had one until now in the last couple of episodes. So, but that may change. That was good. And yeah, as again, thanks to those patrons that came out. I'll be back in Perth again. We'll do it again. And hopefully in other cities as well. We'd love to get to Adelaide. Wouldn't that be fun? We've got a fair few patrons there as well.
Yeah, except you're in Adelaide.
Oh, that's mean. Mm. I think Adelaide's a swell town.
Oh, never been, fine. But, I've got friends there. Oh, you know. But
let's talk about this.
I promised a Twitter conversation thread we just have to touch on. So there's been a lot of talk about Elam endings and that sort of re-entered the Twitterverse. I just want to clarify, there was a bit of issues about what the Elam ending actually is. And I think as you and me were Elam boosters, just need to say 100%. People might be confused that it's like a set score from the outset. Like, okay, the first team to 90 is going to win this game or what have you. It's not that. It's a normal game played with normal rules until a
foul. And clock.
And clock and everything, fouls and all that kind of normal stuff, just normal game basketball, until a predetermined point of the fourth quarter. It's usually like, you can change this rule, but it's usually about 4 minutes before the end of the game, at which point the clock turns off. And then there is another predetermined rule, which says
amount of score,
X number of points from the high score, from whatever the highest score is at the moment between the two teams, add on another 8 points or 10 points. The number can be anything. They use 8 in TBT. I think the NBA All-Star game uses something ridiculous.
15, I thought.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter. But it's predetermined. And then they just go. So if you've built up a good lead in the majority of the game, you've still got a strong advantage because it's 8 plus your points. And the opposing team has to score 8 plus your points as well.
It's catch up.
So they're playing catch up. Yeah. So I just wanted to clarify that because I think people sort of think it's just play to a score and it's not. As such.
And I want to clarify this as well, and we're sort of jumping ahead, but the game where Cotton hits the game winner against New Zealand, arguably the best game of this season, perhaps even the last couple of seasons, that people are like, oh, but that's the beauty of overtime. I was like, yeah, but that's the beauty of a walk-off shot. I feel it plays into the Elam ending rather than playing into the benefit of overtime. No one's saying, gee, you remember that first 3 minutes of overtime? Boy, I'm glad I bought a ticket. They're saying, no, remember the shot, the basically walk-off shot from Cotton. Yep. So I feel like it, and if that had happened at the end of the fourth quarter in an Elam, people wouldn't be ruining like, oh, I wish it was tied and we just go to more kind of semi-inconsequential first 3 minutes of an overtime or however long. So that's it there. There are also other rules where fouling is different. I believe if you foul, you get 2 shots and the ball. That's how they played TBT. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But the fouling is discouraged. Foul shooting is discouraged and time-wasting tactics are discouraged. So we don't have to do this. We're huge fans. What Jackson McDonald asked the question in the presser to Scott Morrison. Did you see his reply? I haven't watched that yet.
Yes, I did see the reply.
What did he say?
Good on Jackson for asking the question, by the way.
Nailed it.
He replied that he kind of enjoys it and that he said that they use it in their training sessions for what that's worth, probably in scrimmages and things like that. I think he said that it would result in a significant amount of change. So he didn't endorse it for the season, but he didn't speak against it either. So
I mean, we've said this though, like I don't think an Elam ending, I know it might sound peculiar, but people I'm sure were saying the shot clock, it changes the game. It's all about the stalling tactics and 5 minutes of shuffle offense and then throw up a quarter court shot. I'm sure people were saying that 50 years ago, shot clock changes the game for the better. But also the big change is 12 to 10 minutes. I mean, that has just meant that all your records are not totally out the window, but pretty close to.
Yep.
There's a total partition in the NBL's history of 12 minutes and 10.
Yep.
So it would change things, yes, but this is a league of change and 3-point line moves back, forth. Even the NBA for a while, it was closer in 95 or whatever year, and then it went back. So,
you know what? And you know what, Joe? You could probably squeeze in 12-minute quarters plus an Elam ending.
Precisely.
Combine those two.
You could combine those two changes and how much – that would just be a better game.
Yeah.
And then, it's Elam time and you take a mandatory timeout when Elam comes in and then you have a break. You're like, oh, this person's scoring this in the Elam ending. This is the Elam ender of all to end all Elam enders. Like, imagine the graphics and the carton and betting lines. Oh, betting lines, who's going to hit the winning shot. This is elementary to me. We've had this conversation. We've had Nick Elam himself. I need no convincing. And in 10, 20 years' time, I won't be on my deathbed, but maybe I am. I'll be able to say I told you so.
There you go.
And so will you.
There we will. There we'll say that. Exactly. So, Tegan, that was taking it to the tweets.
Maybe play it a third time. That's good. Let's talk about the games.
Sorry, I'm calling. I feel like I'm taking over your job here, mate.
No, do it.
We've got some news. We've got some breaking news.
Ew.
Sydney Kings ownership.
Tesla.
Got to do this.
Do you know? Did you know of this chairwoman before?
No.
This news?
No. No, neither. Seems like she has quite the corporate CV. Spent time at Telstra, at Tesla. Wow. Easy to get those two mixed up.
Very.
But, you know, obviously has a fair bit of wealth behind her. So
30%.
Nice little private equity stake in the Kings.
What did you make of it? Like, I mean, whenever I think someone's selling part of their business, it's because they either want to saddle up with that new owner or they need a cash injection. You know, we've got this thing, either sell a bit of it. We don't want all of it. So when you heard of the sale, what did you think? Did you think, oh, this is Paul Smith trying to offload a bit of whatever?
I read it as a bit of good opportunity to just minimize risk and realize a bit of capital gains. Because the bit of article that I read quoted it as a 30% buyout or whatever, which valued the overall organization at $35 million. Now, this
you
is the Kings.
This, at luncheon.
This is the Kings and the Flames. So it's a combined valuation. But I think the Wildcats sold for, was it $8-9 million, something like that?
Yeah, that $10 million mark makes sense to me. I mean, it's still a major. And that's the Wildcats.
And that was only a year ago. So are you telling me that the Sydney Kings, who get maybe 4,000 people on average to a game,
Between four and seven or eight at the most, yeah.
And don't seem to have a whole lot of brand loyalty or anything like that in the city.
No.
Beyond the diehards. Them worth three times as much as 10-time champion, 13,000 people Perth Wildcats?
It's bizarre, isn't it? I mean, obviously, just because this new – do you have the person's name, by the way, this new owner?
Oh, I had it and now I don't.
While I'm talking, let's see if we can look that up.
Yep.
But they've bought – just because this sale has gone through for this amount, I mean, yes, you can extrapolate those numbers to a gross valuation, but no, that just seems crazy to me. I'd value any NBL team between about 5 and 10, 12 if you're talking Wildcats, but 30 just seems absurd. Because, you know, what are you buying? Like you're buying into a team, not the league. The league still dictates when you play your games and a whole bunch of things, and that's, you know, Kesselman.
Yep.
So I just don't know where a team, other than just straight ticket sales, is where the Kings and most clubs make their money. And we've just coming in / out during, are we done with COVID? In a COVID world where you're trying to put bums in seats in close proximity, I'm like, I wouldn't be buying into a business that does that, you know, whether it be hospitality or otherwise or entertainment. So, yeah, but I mean, maybe it shows the growth and health. I think it just shows someone overpaid.
It's her name is Robin Denham. And she's working through the Wollamy Capital Group, which is part of the Denham Family Investment Office. Now, that is something I aspire to have. One day in my life, I would love to have a Canyon Family Investment Office. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but we can hope. But
is there any chance that this is a sort of like the Flames are attached? Like, is there a chance this is a non-for-profit-y taxi type deal? Like, move money into something else? I don't think so.
I think this is a commitment.
Goodwill.
It's a commitment. I mean, I think, although you don't buy into basketball to make a lot of profit. Having said that,
I've yet to see
an owner in the NBL walk away from club ownership and saying, wow, I really cleaned up there.
No. I'll say this. I wonder if Bogut's share has been diluted.
It has not. Well, it has not, because the statement says he retains his existing stake in the company, and three-time NBA champion and Australian basketball legend Luke Longley will continue to provide guidance and advice to the ownership group in his role as a special advisor.
Oh, okay. Special advisor.
No,
very special.
So they the Andrew Bogut link is retained.
There you go. Oh well.
Good luck to him.
Good luck to him. Someone has given money to the Kings. Take that money, Woody Allen. Take the money and run. Congratulations.
Yes.
And I hope it works out. Speaking of the Kings, former player Casper Ware was looking like going to Adelaide. That hasn't happened. I at the time got the impression this was a bit of a plant where it's like, he was in negotiation with Russian clubs, wanted to have buzz out there that he was thinking or had other options, and then only too soon signed with a massive club in CSKA Moscow, who are, you know, really, really big. A while ago, and people can look it back up on Twitter, even on next episode, there was a EuroLeague journalist who put out the spend of each team, both their player wages and just overall company spend.
Yep.
And CSKA Moscow were massive. And obviously there's been a talent drain in Russia where players are leaving due to the war. So
it's good to see.
I found it strange. Yeah.
It's good to see Kasper Ware prioritizing the rubles over the political, you know, making a political statement.
And then Adelaide, were Adelaide going to bring in him, who they it didn't make sense positionally, I don't really think. And then so close to the playoffs when they're most certainly out of it. I mean, they're not. It's not like they bring in Kasper Ware and it's like, oh, we're in the playoffs. We're going to sell, you know, tickets to a three-game playoff series. I think that's not going to happen. So this was skeptical the whole time, but anyway, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, and it allowed Grant Kelly and the 36ers to take the high road and to say that they considered it, but
that was trite, right? That can't be true, can it?
On the basis of, you know, the challenge of, you know, the ethical dilemma of sending money to Russia as part of the buyout, they decided not to go ahead with the deal. Man, that's great spin.
That is, we were talking about the elements of style, that book.
Yes.
Well, there's an element of style there. I didn't hate it, but I don't know if I believed it fully. Let's talk about some games.
Yes.
Want to do that?
I'll let you push on now.
Here we go, round 15. We're going to sort of talk about the games, but more about the teams, you know, launching off from those games.
Yep.
Melbourne and Perth, this one to start the round of round 15. This was quite a good game. Perth won it by 10, 97, 87, something like that.
Yep.
This is the game of this round or last round that Golding played poorly in. Played well in one, or well in the last quarter of one, and then was on a bit of a slump. And I've got a stat here for you. Here's the interesting thing about Golding. Against teams below 500.
Okay.
So the easy beats.
Yep.
16 points per game, 40%, 40% from three. However, stats against teams above 500, 12 points per game, 31% from the field, 19% from three. Ooh. Three of his four best scoring games have been against New Zealand and Cairns. I think he had one game over 20 points against maybe South Melbourne or Perth. I can't really recall.
Yep.
But up until, we're going to talk about later in the round, he was in a bit of a stretch where he just wasn't making the shots. Teams had kind of, they're putting pressure on him without a secondary scorer like
that's,
a Hobson.
That's the story, isn't it?
Is that like, where you were going?
Yeah, they can really key in on Golding because there's no secondary threat.
And he's put up stats against the bad teams and then the better teams not quite so much, but that did change later in the round. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, that's where Melbourne have their problems. I mean, they're getting Delhi's actually shooting the ball quite well. It looks ugly every time he does it, but they're going in at a fair clip.
So. I'm blown away because at the start of the year he wasn't making them, bar that one game in Illawarra. And he was shooting poorly, and now he's just like the floaters back. Yeah. And a couple of threes.
He's doing what I thought Caleb Agata would be doing. You know, that secondary 3-point shooter. It's actually Delhi. Yeah. Crazy.
Agata's in a slump. He had some big games, you know, 20 and 10, da, da, da. We just haven't seen him feature in. He hasn't been one of the best four players in a game in a while, if my memory serves.
So my question coming out of this game, Melbourne versus Perth, do Melbourne need another player? Like, so this is a potentially a grand final preview. And Perth handled them, and they did it with Mitch Norton being the third banana rather than perhaps Michael Frazier.
Yeah, Frazier, wow.
So he was again no-show, and Perth handled it. So if Perth make a change and bring in potentially a better player, Melbourne United are going to have to think about whether they can handle it.
They've hit a slump in their schedule. Like, they just haven't – they had a huge win streak, 4, 5, 6 games maybe. I think it was 5 early on, and they've really hit a bad patch where – but they've had a good run. Like, their travel schedule's been gentle. Their COVID stuff has been – you know, far from the worst. Like, Perth have had it bad. New Zealand, obviously, worse. But, you know, Southeast Melbourne have had a lot of COVID disrupt their camp.
Yeah.
Melbourne, not quite so much. They had it last year, it disturbed their camp. But the question I had coming off from this game. Yeah. Sorry, Andrew, you go.
No, I was just going to say, Melbourne, they only run 7.5 deep.
That's true. They have their starters. Off the and bench, then Illy,
and they got Huck Porty.
Pete Ling.
And maybe Brad Newley, but the corpse of Brad Newley.
Yeah, he's looking a little old at times. He can still be impactful, but only in splashes. The question I had coming off from this game is, has the Joe Luala Chul impactful fairy dust kind of worn off a little bit? Because I look at this game, Law, Majuk, and Travis, 43 points, and they won the rebound count. Before, this was a game where JLA was, you know, 25 and 14.
Yep.
And I think he had an okay game stats-wise, but he just hasn't had those big games, those MVP contendership type games he was having early on. So has the hype got to him? He's just had a kid. Maybe that disruption has cost him the MVP type form he was having. Yeah, that'd be my question. I'm very eager to see JLA moving forward.
Yeah, good question.
Anything else from this one? You want to move on?
No, that's about it for that game. Moving on to
Cairns, Tasmania, 69 points. I've just got here, dot point one, 69 points from Cairns. Come on, Taipans. Oh. It's just dreadful.
I stood by my policy at the moment of not watching Cairns games.
Good. You did the right thing. I was about to say, they've gone from Machado, Newble, and Oliver just a couple of years ago to Machado, but injured.
Yep.
McCall, not a bad replacement for DJ Newble, but not DJ Newble, yep. To Zimmerman instead of Oliver. Just not the same, is it? It's poor Cairns.
No.
And then every local from the last winning season who was impactful has regressed.
Mm.
Remember Mirko Jeric? Remember when he was a fun player to watch on a basketball court?
Yep. He's not.
He must be hurt. He barely plays.
Yeah.
Or when he does, he doesn't do a lot.
He's on a very short rope, perhaps.
Very short rope. And then Kwat Noi. Remember when he was? Remember there was an NBA draft talk with him?
Yeah.
He hasn't played an impactful game in a year and a half. Sorry,
Kawhi. No, too bad.
So that's, and Tasmania beat him. And before this was, you know, who's going to win the spoon? They beat him handedly, made him mince him.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
It's a mess.
Brisbane
team.
Perth. Do you even remember this game? I don't.
I remember. There's two things I remember because I made a couple of notes. The two things I remember was Frazier actually scored. Which was amazing, but
I think he had one poop, right?
It was. I think he finished with 9 points. Looking right at the box score right
season
now,
high.
But it remained an unconvincing performance. Eventually you stand on a basketball court long enough, you're going to score the ball. It's impossible not to. So he still didn't look like he belonged,
especially against Brisbane. They are. If you want to score, this is the team.
Exactly. And they the other thing play. I noticed was. Vic Law, with a bit of a political statement, was wearing mismatched shoes, one blue, one yellow, which I would have to assume was Ukrainian.
Or was it a Brisbane thing?
Oh, I didn't even think the Brisbane thing. I went straight to Ukraine. Do you think he was?
A bit of both.
Was it a shout out to the old Brizzy days?
I think it, well, I don't know. I didn't actually even notice the shoes, but when you said blue and yellow, I thought, oh, maybe it's just kind of subtle hint to the old team, like sorry to love you and leave you.
I don't know what's better.
If I'd known, we'll do the presser, we will have to ask him.
All right, put that question on notice. Vic Law, what were you thinking?
Vic Law, what are you doing? I had one dot point from this one, and this was we've been quite high on James Duncan. They were looking attractive and energetic. They've lost Sobey in their defense. Sobey's a huge part of the team. They've lost him, but I have to put this. I put this loss on James Duncan is what I've got written here. Either there was no plan on Cotton, or there was a plan and it was too simplistic, or a plan that his players, you know, didn't listen to him or mugged him off and didn't run it, because Cotton was coming off picks. They were switching. He'd get Patterson 3 points. There was a time where Cotton was coming down the floor, and it was Patterson lining up on him, and he was just like, I am going to score. I turned to whoever I was with. I was like, watch this. This is the surest 2 points this season. Came down, jab step, Patterson was leaning.
Yep.
Cotton got 3 meters of separation and had the coolest, calmest jump shot he's had all year. And routinely he'd come down, come off a pick, and they'd just do a lame switch. No like hard double that we saw Cairns do in the semifinal a couple of years ago. We'll let him play how he wants and kill us. And Cotton destroyed them.
Yep.
I think Vic Law also had a good game, but Cotton was just, it was just embarrassing. I was like, well, you got to pick someone, you know, you got to do something. Mm. And it was just it was really lame. So I didn't watch the presser on that one. I hope James Duncan was asked, like, this is Bryce Cotton. You should be scouting him from day one. You get the gig. And it just seemed like he was content to do the Will Weaver, which is, stay in the drops. Yep. Uh-oh, this is not working, but this is going to look good in an NBA interview. Stay in it, get killed, lose the finals, but get the job interview. Yep. So I don't know what James Duncan's playing at. Bless his heart. I'd love to chat to
him. And this is the Brisbane Bullets that beat Perth in Perth earlier this season. It never really looked like that was going to happen this time around. So it was a good showdown between Franks and Vic Law. That was quite entertaining.
That was fun. But never was this result in doubt.
No, it wasn't.
Brisbane are careening down to the bottom. But, you know, we're a bit hard on them. Sobey is the guy who would have taken Cotton, but I would have been hyping up Drimmick all week. Like, Drimmick, we're gonna start. You're on him. You're taking him. When he does a pick, do this.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be a team effort. Nope. Brisbane were content to just get killed.
Yep.
Let's jump on.
Yep. Next game.
New Zealand, Adelaide. Do you remember this?
This was hilarious because it was...
My first dot point. How could the 36ers lose to New Zealand? What were you saying?
Well, I was going to say it was actually a New Zealand home game in Adelaide. With the Adelaide 36, celebrating the Adelaide 36ers 20th anniversary of their championship team. And the court announcer was cheering, like was court announcing as if he was an Adelaide home announcer. They weren't even pretending to say, you know, great 2 points from Hugo Besson. It was, Daniel Johnson. You know, it's like, wow, you're not even trying to make it a Breakers home game.
Unbelievable. And they lost. They still lost. Against New Zealand, who were playing their 15th, 16th road game. Were without someone. Did Wetzel play?
I can't recall.
It doesn't matter, even if he did. How could you lose this game with the championship? And also in the style of play, like they just look dreadful.
Oh, terrible.
And nothing. And it's time to talk. It's time to talk. I want to ask you this question, Andrew Kane.
Okay.
We need to talk about McCarron. We need to talk about Daniel Johnson and Dusty Hannes. Okay. McCarron.
Yep.
Good player, bad player in your estimation. As curt as you can be. Good player, bad player.
Bad player.
Wow. I say good. Why do you say bad?
He's had all season to step up and take this team, you know, as his own and say, look, this is my team. I'm not gonna die wondering. I'm gonna put up 20 shots. I'm going to throw some passes and I'm either going to screw it up royally or I'm going to have success. Instead, he's happy to just, you know, do the bare minimum.
Play set.
And do the defensible stuff. Like, I played within the game plan. Like, screw the game plan, man. You're losing every time. What's the worst that's going to happen?
I say good player, but basically parrot your rationale where I'm like, this is a good player. This is a play setter. He's not necessarily a big game Nathan Sobey, get you 25. He's a play setter, but that can be really, really helpful on a team that's not a complete mess on the floor and an organizational disaster.
Mm.
So I see value in McCarron. I see him as a really – I mean, he's one of the best locals. He's still a top 10, 15 local, maybe even higher. I just think this is the worst – this is really situational fit, dreadful. No import scoring on the regular. Not a lot. They rebound well, but they don't score.
Can I channel homicide for a second here? I want to say to Mitch McCarron.
Speak on it.
Step your game up. Step your game up. This team needs you.
He needs to score.
This team needs you. And they need you now. And they don't need you picking up rubbish. It was an away game. It wasn't even your home game. You're cleaning up the opponent's stadium.
Don't worry about picking up rubbish because you're playing like trash. Yeah, McCarron. Well, have you got faith in him though? You're saying bad game, bad player, bad season, just full stop, no hope.
No. There's opportunity for redemption here, but it's got to come soon.
Let's move on. Daniel Johnson, good player, bad player.
Good player, but good at one end of the court.
Yeah, I think he's a barometer for success, but he's not a game changer in my opinion. No. I've seen enough of Daniel Johnson where if he's your best player or second best player, you're in a wee bit of trouble. He's an amazing scoring complement, but he's an accumulator. He'll get you 20 and 6 or 8.
Do you know every time I catch a train on the Perth train system, and I swipe my Smart Rider card. And I walk through the gate and I say, hey, Daniel Johnson, thanks for that. Get it? It's a turnstile.
Turnstile. The defense is the issue. And in this NBL season, because the scoring's been down, the shooting's been down, not just his, but the league's defense is shining through. I think he's a good player, but you at this point, you know exactly what he can do and you know exactly what he can't, and they don't play to that either. Dusty Hanna's good player, bad player?
Dusty Hanna's a bad player.
I'm saying bad too. Why do you say bad?
I would be happy with him as sort of maybe a backup local guard. Yeah, sort of. I put him in that ranking. If he was a good local, you know, just a local out of the NBL one stepping up, that's good. That's where he's at. But I'll ask import you this question. Dollars, and no way.
Yeah, exactly. Import dollars. You've nailed it. I'll ask you this question. Who would you rather have, Dusty Hanna's or an Adelaide kid who's playing in Illawarra, Isaac White?
Yeah,
I can't separate the two.
I'd take Isaac White. I'd take Dusty Reichardt over Dusty Hanna's and Dusty Reichardt right now.
Wow, that hurts. I think that, Isaac White, you know, is the same sort of player, and Isaac White's probably on the min, maybe a bit more, maybe less, I don't know. And whereas Dusty Hanna's, you're putting in, you know, that's Adelaide though. Like, instead of getting an Adelaide kid and paying him the min and keeping him around and building something, and he's just scoring punch off the bench, they've had to go out and spend it on an import, when really, like, with your import, you want bigger body, known scorer, switcher. Yeah, Hanna's, it just hasn't quite clicked. He'll have good games and then followed by bad games. He'll chase his shot a lot. I mean, this team's hard to gauge because they're a mess, but I'm just saying, in this situation, this season, not for me. No.
That's enough
of them. It's enough of them. I meant to say, when I was saying that Daniel Johnson's kind of like a barometer player, I'd call him, instead of Daniel Johnson, Daniel Peloton. I had that rhyming John, anyway, because he's just part of the peloton.
Part of the pack. Right. Okay.
That sounded better on paper. Sorry about that.
We both tried it. I think we both bombed our Daniel Johnson jokes.
McCarron looked broken in the presser. I will say that. I only caught it for a bit.
I saw your comments. Broken. I watched the presser based on your comment of saying the way you said that.
And did you feel the same way?
Yeah, and he looked pretty down on himself. Angry. And over it.
Angry, down. That's why he was picking up rubbish. And that was, I thought, commendable. I quite liked that. He didn't, that, you know, it's not like the 36ers put that out. That was just captured by someone in the crowd. So I quite liked it.
Yep.
Yeah, I
thought it was but good. Because did you notice what he was collecting? It wasn't rubbish. It was containers, man. He was taking those 10 cents at a time for recycling.
He's making out in the deal. Yep. Tasmania Illawarra. This was a good game. This outcome, Tasmania won it. Didn't see that coming. Really kind of wrecks the Hawks season. They needed this one because their schedule is really tough. Clint Steindl had 20-some and looked amazing, faded in the fourth. And the question I had coming off this game was, does Gorgon have control of his imports? I'm not so sure.
Doesn't appear to have. No, I've...
Because Cleveland took a three late in the fourth. I can't remember what time, but it was late. We're getting to winning time, and he took a three that was early in the clock. Early up the floor, right at a buzzer bitch situation. Horrible shot. Looked. I said at the time, that looks borderline contemptuous. And then Harvey took a shot when they were down five. We're talking minute and a half left. Came down, bang, quarter court, three, pull up, early shot clock. I was like, oh man, you just had the momentum and now you lost it. And as a result, they went on to lose it. I'm worried that Gorgon doesn't have control of those guys to play his style and his way. What do you think?
I agree. I've been worried about Gorgon for probably half this season. Just seems like he may have lost the locker room. I don't know. I don't have an inside view of that team. But they're not playing Gorgian brand basketball, are they?
Not even close. No, not even close. And some of his decision-making has been sort of slow off the mark. Like, Isaac White is only now just starting to get time and has looked quite good.
Yeah.
The putting the faith in Harry Froehling, I think that experiment's kind of waning at this point over Ogilvy.
Remember when remember when Rob Beveridge took Emmett Nahr to the qualifiers and he was getting, you know, points and nine assists and just controlling the court? He got zero minutes of playing time under Gorge.
And has not played all year. And you would have thought Harvey struggling. All right, Harvey, don't worry about setting people up. Let's Emmett Nahr, bring the ball to quarter court, make sure this guy gets it off a nice pin down, nice baseline cut, catch, turn, shoot. And he just hasn't played him. It's been really weird. I mean, I don't have any intel on that team, but at this point, I think Emmett Nahr is good enough to give you 10 NBL minutes.
What's the worst that's going to happen? Yeah. You're not.
At least as a test, at least against some dud teams where you're up.
Yep.
Nope. So it must be something, maybe local kid, smoke up his ass. I don't know what's going on, but it's very peculiar to me.
I don't like it.
Good.
I don't like it.
Neither do I. Were there any other games this round? Oh, yeah. The best of the round. What happened? I haven't got it in front of me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sydney Kings and Cairns. Oh, wow.
Hang on. Before that. We got the Melbourne. The throwdown.
Golding. Spectacular. Delhi, spectacular. But here's the question I would have asked of Simon Mitchell, and I'm going to ask it of you, Andrew Kane. Did the Phoenix choke?
That's exactly what I was thinking to ask you. Seemed like it. I thought this
game. Oh, you want my answer first or yours?
I want your answer because I think this game is sewn up. They choked. Tell me.
Yeah. They choked big time. Munford taking wild shots. And you know what's worse, though? Worse than, yes, it is a choke, is the fact that you could feel it coming. You could feel it coming where it's like, uh-oh, they need real structured points because they're in the pinch and they don't have it.
Yep.
And, yeah, so they got that pinch. And then Golding hit that shot where, I mean, it was a remarkable shot from quarter court. But I was still like, so deep. But I was also like, Jochi, what are you doing on the floor? Yeah, and also, you know, to him, it's unfathomable. I should not be on him. But he was 3 feet off Golding, and it's like, and here's the problem. I think he would have been 3 feet off Golding if Golding had his tippy toes on the line.
But you know what?
I just don't.
Tell me that everybody in that stadium didn't know he was going to take that shot. Like, it was.
More, exactly.
It was the, I make this and we could win. I lose, I miss it and we'll probably lose, but we're probably going to lose anyway. Total just.
It was his shot.
Yeah. It's Chris Golding all over. Of course he was going to take
it. He nailed it. And it's just like, make him put it on the floor. If he has to take three dribbles and get to the line and pull up for three, that's okay.
Yep.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I guarantee his three-point percentage off two dribbles is worse than him shooting it from quarter court off a pure catch and face and look up at it. So it was just bad. It was just, but it was all that stuff. That was it in macro, but there was all little micro stuff where you could tell the Phoenix were going to choke. What? Yeah, you got anything else from this game?
Well, other than, you know, this is the game where they lost, broke off to injury, right?
We need to talk about that. So he's out for a month.
Yep. So he's gone for a month. So that's a shame. It's not like he's been putting up big numbers, but he's been part of their structure. But that's okay because they've got plenty of other guys that can step in on that wing position. We've got RTR, solid, reliable player, been there for years. We've got former Boomer Cam Glidden. Gosh, he'll be fine, won't he?
I saw Michael Rounder, who I forget which paper, might write for The Age down there. Really good Twitter follow, people. Get onto him. He's great. He was like, oh, yeah, Brokoff's out, but it's okay. RTR will step in and Glidden will get more minutes. No problem. I hope I'm reading that right. Michael will be listening. No. But I was like, no, I don't know. Not all good. Man. Me, no good. Don't like. No likey.
See, I want to go back to the taking of the tweets because I think I'm proud of my own work here. I made a tweet. I can't remember exactly what it was.
We'll play the tune again. We'll do it again. What was it?
It was basically something about the Phoenix need to live up to their name and burn down this thing because this bird ain't got no wings.
Oh, that's like a song lyric. You know? It's like The Doors or something.
Yeah.
I agree. It's been the issue now. Like we've always said, there's nothing on the wing, and now Brokoff gets hurt and their most softest, whitest underbelly is now on full show. So if you're Glidden, if you're Turungi, prove us wrong.
Yeah.
And prove us wrong and you're going to have to carry the team in a strange way. They need 15 points out of those two at a high clip, at a good percentage. Good luck to them.
Step your game up.
Let's move on to the next one. We're going to talk about the run home of these teams in a second. Cairns-Sydney. You didn't watch this, obviously. You're a human being. Get this. Chase Buford calls a timeout with like 7, maybe 5 seconds left in the game.
Ooh.
They're up 10.
Ooh.
Calls it. They come out of the timeout. They dribble out the game. They don't even run a play.
Didn't the Sydney Kings coach from a few years ago get really jacked off? Will Weaver, didn't he get jacked off when somebody called a timeout? Like maybe it was Gleeson called a timeout late in the game.
Ooh. Maybe Gleeson used to do it all the time, but it would at least run a play. All right. You've called a timeout. You want to practice something for a late game situation in the finals. I wouldn't have done it myself, but okay, fair enough. But to come out and then just dribble it out, because this game had a stupid amount of fouls. I've got it in front of me. I'll quickly check. Stupid amount of fouls. So this thing ran long. Then to call a timeout. I was covering this one. I was like, oh, please, like let me go. So I had to do an hour overtime, which I don't mind, but how many fouls were in this game? 17-17. So that's 34 fouls and a lot of foul shots. What were we at? 22 and 20. And it just went on and on. And to call that timeout, I was like, are you a jerk? Yeah. I'm sure he's not a jerk, but what a jerk move. And it didn't just didn't look good, didn't feel good. Even the commentators were like, oh, this is a bit a slap in the face. But that was all I have from this game. Cairns predictably lost.
Forget that game. Surprise, let's talk about the next game.
This was the game of the year. I only caught the fourth quarter in overtime, unfortunately, but that was enough. Holy moly. Your impressions or talking points?
Well, I had my I watched the whole game, but the second half of it, I was a little distracted because my brother was visiting me. He's here from overseas, so he doesn't appreciate NBL basketball to the same level that I do. So I was kind of having to pay him some attention while watching the game.
I understand.
But I was able to go back and watch it again later on. It was just an incredible, incredible performance. Vic Law, like people talking about all the Bryce Cotton heroics, there was Vic Law and there was Hugo Besson. And both of those guys just were unstoppable. They lit it up. It was incredible. It was just shot making. Nobody could miss. Vic Law making the mid-range game so sexy. So nice to see a mid-range jump shot. And then Bryce Cotton reminds everybody that he's the MVP.
Mm. And then also the impact of Yanni Wetzel came back. He did actually play against Adelaide in the win and had 11 and 9. But he was kind of still coming back. This was his game where he was like, yep, I've got my legs now. And he looked amazing. I thought Yanni looked really good. And we were talking about this at lunch with the gang that this break of season has been a mess.
Yep.
But they've got a couple of bright spots in that. Obviously, Besson looks like he's going to get drafted and drafted pretty high. He looks like a really good player to me. I really like him. If he doesn't go in the top 20, I'd be really surprised.
Mm.
So he's one. So they get that buyout money. Dieng, people have a hard on for. I don't quite get it, but I can see his upside. So let's say he gets drafted, they get that money. Wetzel signed a big deal. I think he signed a 2 or 3 year deal. He is going to get an offer from a European club. I don't think he's NBA. He doesn't have that athleticism that catches the eye of that sort of institute, but certainly Europe, where they're like, what? He puts up routinely 18 and 12 in Australia. Yeah, that'll play in Europe. And he's got the passport.
Yep.
And he's signed there before. So they probably get a bit of buyout from him. So they're going to recoup some money, I think. Albeit losing a huge amount of talent, but that's the upside for them, because I think Wetzel is so impactful. It doesn't play a heck of a lot of D, but just
nice. He's good.
When they were around, and he's got a nose for the ball. He moves. He's like when Fred Flintstone used to go bowling, twinkle toes. He just has this like tappy nature around the hoop. I really like Wetzel. So great game. Yeah. Cotton looked remarkable. Like when 3-pointers needed to be made, it was him.
Yep.
He's a freak. So fun to watch. And anyone listening who's kind of, oh, will I, won't I? If he comes to your town, you buy a ticket. It's just that simple.
I love that Bryce Cotton's got to be one of the most mild-mannered guys off the court. But you get him on the court in those clutch situations, and he is
brutal.
He's impactful. He shows his emotion. You know, he taps his watch, Bryce o'clock. You know, it's just, I love it. I love the fact that he's so mellow and yet you know, he's so passionate brutal. On the court.
His separation, for young kids listening or watching, watch how I don't know how he actually does it and jumps so far back but doesn't take fadeaways.
Yep.
Can get back to a spot, a mark 2 meters back from where he's jumping from, but still be up and down. Yeah, he's remarkable. And we were talking about this at lunch again. Kiefer Sykes is playing for Pacers. Looks like he's got a year or two deal. Cotton, I mean, come on.
I know,
Cotton's twice the player and but just must not have the imperative and the push to get there is contented. So I think for as long as Bryce Cotton wants to be in the NBL, he's going to be in the NBL, which is pretty cool.
Can I just do my I have to do the Michael Frazier check now, building on his 9-point game against Brisbane.
Oh, no.
He played 17, almost 18 minutes of court time for 2 points, 2 rebounds, two fouls for a team worst plus minus of negative 15. Guy's not right for the team. If you want to win a championship, and they are well positioned to win a championship, I'm sorry, you can't.
And they've got 9 games left.
Just no.
So really, they've got
Hodgson. You've got Hodgson, who's either injured or suspended every second game. Mm. You need a big man. Mm. It's crazy.
And Travers, who's struggling. Travers, what do you have in this one? 18 minutes.
Yeah.
19 minutes. 1 of 5.
So you're not getting it done through those guys. You need another option. So
yeah, big time.
Come on.
Well, what did Wetzel have in this game? He's in there
17,
20,
I think he had.
17, 18 rebounds.
Yeah.
So the rebound count was, holy moly,
so it was
41.
Balanced out.
balanced out.
But it was, Vic Law again, 8. Bryce Cotton with 8 rebounds.
So Cotton had 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have all bounced to him. But look at that. Look at that stat line of Cotton. 32, 50%, 8 rebounds, 8 assists.
Yeah.
4 turnovers, but that's just high usage.
And Vic Law shooting 17.
19 on the floor.
What's that? Sorry?
Cotton was a plus 19 on the floor.
17 of 22 for Vic Law from 2-point range. It's just
unbelievable. Yeah,
incredible game.
He was amazing. They had no answer for him. And we've spoken about this. I was looking forward to this matchup. Finn Delaney, 12 points, 4 of 6, 8 and 5. Cool. But
stop the
good
boil.
Plus minus. But no, it hasn't been his year at all. But yeah, so they were the games. They were really fun. Some of them really fun to watch. Let's go to let's do the round 16 preview. There are 2 games for next round that I'm most looking forward to.
Yep.
And I think you'll probably concur with me, Andrew. I had Hawks and Southeast Melbourne, a replay from, 2 rounds ago?
Yes, I had that too.
That's on, Thursday?
Yep.
No? Yeah, Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Is that East Coast time or West Coast time?
East Coast time, probably.
So 7:30 on the East Coast, so that's 4:30 here. That'll be a good game.
Yep.
Definitely taking the last half of that if you're only a casual fan. Who's going to win and why?
Oh, it's a really tough one.
At home, by the way, in Illawarra.
I'm going to say Illawarra are going to win.
I'm very steadfast on Illawarra. Why do you say Illawarra?
I think they'll have enough of a rocket put up them that they'll just enough. And I think they can score against the wing position against Southeast Melbourne's weakness.
And the guy who's got to step up is Reith. He's shown flashes where, big body, can shoot, stretch it, catch it, but often he'll get it in the post and take a fadeaway jump shot when it's inappropriate. He's a guy, big rap, boomers. All right, let's see it now. You got 7 or 8 games that are really critical. Let's see it. No more pouting on the 3-point line.
Yep.
Go and get it off the backboard. I haven't seen him do a lot of offensive rebounding, get it back. You're with a couple of gunners and Jessup and Harvey and Raytheon Mays and Cleveland. Yeah, okay. Go and get your own then if they're not going to give it to you. So I'm really going to be watching him big time on this one.
Yep.
Don't know who takes Creek again, but Southie Melbourne, there's nothing on the wing. They're going to have 2 guys on the court. The passengers, that's never a good sign. I think they'll lose it as well.
Yep.
Next game. What was the next game you got?
I'm interested in just because they're season defining round. So I'm looking at Illawarra and Southeast Melbourne through this round. It's just like this is the make or break for them. And so the next one I had on was Tasmania Illawarra. Really curious to know if Tassie can carry on their momentum.
When's that on?
That's Saturday at 2:30 Western, 5:30 Eastern.
Okay. That will be good.
Should be fun.
In Tasmania.
Tassie's always fun.
You don't think – because I've got the schedules up. We're going to do the run home of a couple of teams. Do you think Tasmania are legit for the 4?
No. But they can spoil it. They can spoil it for others.
Absolutely. What's their record? I think they're at 9-8 or something like that. No, a bit more than that.
They are.
You got the ladder there?
They are – if we can trust the NBL ladder, they are 10-9, which is a great, great performance.
Yeah, it's 10-9. They're off the pace, aren't they? It's only one game. One game separates them from Illawarra.
Oh, the mathematics would say they can still make it, I think. So, but
I don't. I as much as it's been a dream run, dreams often don't come true, and I think they're not going to wake up and have it for them. Sorry, Tasmania. The other game that is a good game of the round. The other game I like, Phoenix Sydney.
Yeah,
that's on Saturday at 8 p.m.
Yep, that's the one I do mark too.
In Southeast Melbourne, who wins and why?
Sydney win because they got Jalen Adams.
So you're thinking Phoenix are going to be on a 3-game losing streak? Or is it 4 now?
Yeah, that would be 1-2. They're on 2, so that would be 3-4. That would be their 4th loss in a row.
Tell me why you think Sydney win.
Yeah, I just think Jalen Adams is going to be unstoppable. And they've got Xavier Cooks who will do all the...
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy that matchup. But Xavier Cooks, I feel like I can basically rely on him to perform for every minute that he's on the court. And Mitch Creek drifts in and out.
We were having this conversation. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think they just match up really well. Jalen Adams is better than anything Southeast Melbourne have in the backcourt, including Munford.
Yep.
Cooks, Creek, great matchup. You could probably say cancel each other out. Maybe one of them gets the slight impression over the other. Jarrell Martin, I remember him just stepping through Jochi. Yep. Bashley always gets fouled. So that's a matchup in favor of Sydney. Dijan Vasiljevic is a wing who makes shots. I know Southeast Melbourne are like, are they allowed to do that? Like, yes, they're allowed. They're allowed to do that. Your locals are allowed to hit some shots. I know, right? So, yeah, I think this is a whitewash. I think Sydney are going to beat them handily. The other thing as well, Phoenix are on a back-to-back. Sydney are fresh. It's a small flight, Sydney to Melbourne.
Yeah.
So unless COVID or something crazy would happen, I think it's definitely Sydney's. Now, that's looking forward there. Let's look at the run home. But without looking at the schedules or anything else, who you've got Perth and Melbourne, right?
Yep.
Who are your the 3 and 4?
So I've got Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, and then it's a real toss-up here.
Just to bring people in, so Sydney are 12 and 7. They've played 19. They're sitting in third spot. Southeast Melbourne have played 18. They're 11 and 7. Hawks have played 19. They're 11 and 8. So they are a game in the red. Sorry, Andrew, you were saying?
No, I was just agreeing with you. I think
it's tight.
I think I don't like Illawarra. I don't like the way they're playing at all. But I also don't have a huge amount of trust and faith in Southeast Melbourne. And I don't, and I think Tassie are too far off the pace to just quite get there. So I'm going to go Illawarra. I'm going to say Hawks.
I'm saying the same thing, and I feel it quite definitively. I think Sydney have got too much talent, and they're a game in the green.
Yep,
that's my case for them. Simple, and their schedule is actually pretty easy. I've got it here. Now we're getting the nuts and bolts of it. Here's Sydney's schedule. They play Southeast Melbourne on the road, Perth on the road, Tasmania on the road, an easy beat in Adelaide, but that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight home games from this point, just quietly.
Yep.
But Adelaide, then they play New Zealand at home, which could be in Sydney, God knows. Then they play Illawarra at home, which is essentially a home game, at Illawarra. They play Adelaide, Cairns, Illawarra. So they've got 3 games where you can just go win, win, win.
Yep.
Tasmania, you would think, no guarantee.
Yep.
And then they've got Illawarra twice, which they would probably, you'd hope to split. Perth, they'll lose. Southeast Melbourne, we both have them to win. It's enough, right?
Yep.
So that's them through. But yeah, then Southeast Melbourne, Illawarra. So you're saying Illawarra, I'll give you their schedule, people out there. So obviously they play Southeast Melbourne at home. Then they're at Tasmania, at Perth, at Melbourne, Brisbane at home, at Melbourne, at Brisbane, Sydney at home, at Perth, at Sydney.
Oof. Might win 40% of those.
Like you'd think they'd get the better of Southeast Melbourne.
Mm.
Tasmania, they need to, no guarantee. At Perth is a loss. At Melbourne is a loss. Brisbane, they'll win. Are you keeping tally by any chance?
No. Should I have been? Sorry.
No, who cares? At Melbourne, they lose. At Brisbane, they win. So I've got them down for 4 wins the rest of the way so far. Sydney at home, let's say they win that one. At Perth, they lose. At Sydney, they probably lose. So they're getting 5 wins the rest of the way. We haven't done this particularly scientifically, people out there, you're listening. So that's their run. But Southeast Melbourne, I think it's Southeast Melbourne to miss. I think looking at their schedule.
Yep, okay.
And you think Southeast Melbourne to miss. Before I go into all this really, really impossible to follow BS.
I've got a pen.
Yeah,
I've
your
got
case a pen. Against them.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. your case against them. Mine is simply Brokoff's out. They got nothing on the wing and their schedule's not great.
There you go.
And they will definitively lose a game that they should win. That's the MO of this team has been for this season.
Sure.
Here we go. Okay. This is their run home. At Illawarra, we both have them losing it. Mm-hmm. Sydney at home. I'm going to say an L.
Mm-hmm.
At Cairns, win.
Yep.
At Adelaide, win. At Cairns, win. Melbourne at home, loss. At New Zealand, win. Tasmania at home. You go.
Given the win. Yeah.
Adelaide at home, win.
Mm-hmm.
At Perth, a loss. So what does that?
That takes them to, bring them to, I think, if my math is correct, 17 and 11.
So they're going to win 6. And that should just be enough. I mean, that run home, how many times did I say Adelaide, New Zealand and Brisbane?
Mm.
You know, it's just too many easy beats. But for them to not – Adelaide, Illawarra are chasing. They've got to win games that you did not predict.
Yep.
We did not think. And, you know, Southeast Melbourne have to choke it away, which with Brokoff out, boy oh boy.
Both are possible.
We're banking – but we say Illawarra is going to make it. So we're banking on them dropping games.
Yep.
Southeast Melbourne, I mean.
Yep.
Oh dear! Well, prove us wrong. Are we getting dragged into the gorge and vortex?
Nah, I just think that
he's never missed the finals.
Yeah, he'll get them there. He'll get there. Yeah, they'll do it. They've got enough. They've got enough weapons. They'll figure it out. Just enough.
I was worried in the presser when he goes, geez, you know, we just didn't get enough out of our routine swing players, guys that swing a contest. And he said it was Harry Froling and someone else, not Isaac White. Who's another guy off their bench?
Who was he talking Harry about? Harry Froling.
He said two names, but Harry Froling was the one I remembered. I thought, gee, if you're betting on Harry Froling being your swing guy?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a winning horse. I don't know if I'd be betting all my money there. So that's my complaint with them. But I am getting sucked into the Gorgon Cortex, okay. And I think it's so. Who was it? Do you think
was it Conrad?
That's exactly who he said.
Okay,
Conrad. So you're betting on a guy who's close to 40, Froling, who I think we've seen enough at this point where it's trick or treat. You get what you get. No dependability or very little.
Yeah,
and then you go from there. So. But I still, for some reason, I'm going Hawks. I just, Tyler Harvey, come on.
I know. I know. The guy was like an MVP candidate. He has to play well.
Crazy. Well, that's all we've really got, unless you've got anything else, Andrew.
I got nothing else other than, isn't Perth a lovely place and isn't it just a beautiful
I tell you, it is. Hanging out with these laid-back country folk. It's fantastic. No, we had all kinds of fun. I'm here for a couple more days. Hopefully we can catch up with even more people, maybe even at one of the games. We'll see how that pans out if schedules work. But yeah, again, thank you to the people that came to the luncheon. Nick, Adam, Stu.
Yep.
Stu sounds like a thick soup, but it is. That's a person. And a damn fine one at that. Andrew, you, what do you want to say?
Yeah, well, if you want to know, if there's a chance for any more catch-ups in Perth over the next few days, best way to do that to find out is follow us on Twitter at MBL Pocket Pod for Joe. Although I stalk his account and follow it quite closely anyway. Mm-hmm. And also at Andrew Canyon.
Yeah, do send us stuff. Twitter's been going mental. Elam Spike. But also apologies to, and become a patron. Apologies to the patrons. I meant to put up like, we're in town, we're going to do this thing. But yeah, you come on these holidays and I just got caught up. But such a pleasure, everyone. Andrew, good luck this week and enjoy the games, everyone. Andrew, last word.
Step your game up.